The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune into Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's that time of the morning that we discuss issues of human development, issues of economics and politics. And we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM. And we are here from the hour of 6 until 8 in the morning. Where are you finding yourself this morning of the 15th of January, 2026? Where are you finding yourself? Are you pushing? Are you moving? And if you are not pushing, why are you sleeping this time? Where you know that we have bigger priorities to look into. We have projects that we need to complete. And make sure that you are not demoralized, especially in the morning. Make sure that you wake up with energy. And no, there is always this, one of the African proverbs, which has been stated that to say, the sun does not forget a village just because it is small. Even if you think you are small, even if you think you are not worthy of what you think you can, do not forget that your time can still come. As long as we are moving toward that, sometimes it's us who are delaying our progress by thinking small and also by being negative. Make sure that you're positive, because even hope is needed. Because one of the thinkers stated that, hope in Africa, it's a very difficult thing to get. That's why people end up doing everything in order just to be given hope. But what is necessary is that when you have hope, but at the same time you are also working toward that, because there is a saying to say, whatever happened to us first, it was created in the mind of an individual. That's why the most important part of our organs or our body is a brain, because it can attract, it can think, it can build, and it also has the power of creation and also destroying. Because if you look around you, you realize that everything that you see, what you use, particularly man-made, you realize to say most of these things first were created in the mind of an individual, then become into existence through knowledge that that person has used. And before we go to the conversation for today, because today we are going to be joined again by Epaphras Jonas, especially when you will be speaking about the US and the extension of Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. But just before we go there, with me here I have World Economic Forum Global Risk Report of 2026. This is a report based on the survey which is done, internationally, looking at countries to say, when you look at 2026, what are some of the risks which countries are still going to expect? We'll look into Namibia, also look into South Africa, look into few countries, but there are also those risks that will persist, especially post 2026. And it's quite important also, especially to our policymakers, and also most importantly the implementers, to make sure that when it comes to global risk report, we must do something, because the world continue to guide us. The world continue to indicate to us that this is where you are getting wrong. The world continue to give us data that this is where you are getting wrong. This is what you need to address. And if we go directly to those challenges, maybe we would be somewhere by 2030. Maybe 2030 will really become a reality, because most of these risks and challenges has been spoken about, has been reported locally, has been presented by, you know, continental think tank, and they continue to persist. But it's quite crucial to look into that aspect. But globally, looking at in a short term, in the next 2 years, the top 10 conflicts in the world in the next 2 years, what is stated is that geo-economic confrontation. It's a geo-economic confrontation. It's an economic confrontation of the world, where the superpowers and also multinational cooperation dominates, and they're also fighting each other. Especially can be the trade of oil in terms of trade law, can also be in terms of tariffs. This is one of the risks which has been stated to continue, persist. The second one is misinformation and disinformation. Yeah, we are living in the world of misinformation and disinformation. You are getting fact, but that fact is surrounded by a lot of non-fact. Then you realize that this is the world that we are going to live in. But it's going to be dangerous too, especially facts that has to do with matter of human agency, matter of, for example, drought, for example, infrastructure development, for example, issues that are related to can be security. But we are living in the world of misinformation and disinformation, where a narrative can be pushed to that extent that can also be dangerous to the society. And the other thing is societal polarization. You have extreme weather events, state-based armed conflict, and this is likely to happen, especially in the continent of Africa. At number 6, you have cybersecurity. Number 7, you have inequality. Number 8, you have erosion of human rights and civic freedom. 9 is pollution. And number 10 is involuntary migration or displacement. This involuntary migration can also speak about trafficking, can also speak about illegal immigrants. But looking at global risk report of 2026, you can be able to realize that let's look at Namibia. Because all countries are ranked based on what risk are they dealing with, what challenges are they dealing with. And in the top 5, Namibia in 2026 in terms of global risk report of World Economic Forum is that at number 1, you have lack of economic opportunity or unemployment. That has been known, is well known, and measures are put in place, but they have to be done effectively and immediately. Number 2, we have inequality, wealth and income, and that is income inequality. That is at number 2. And you'll be able to realize that that is a challenge that we have been dealing with for a very long time, and we continue to deal with it. And let's see how we are going to deal with that aspect. At number 3, we have debts. And in terms of debts, you have public debts. That debts at public debts. Then you also have corporate debts and debts and household debts. And that is a problem. It's not only a problem at home. It's not only a problem of an individual difficult to pay back the money or having debts. Owing individual. It's not only at an individual level, but also at the public level, because if the country is in debt, institution have debt, individuals too have debt, and that is at number 3. And when you look at the report of Namfisa, you can be able to see and realize that that is also one of the point of concern. At the number 4, in terms of global risk report in Namibia, number 4, we have insufficient public service, social protections, which is including education, infrastructure, and pensions. Those are things that you are not need to be taught. Those are things that you are see. When you speak about insufficient public service and also social protections, you can also see the ambiguity in terms of education, infrastructure, and also issues related to pensions. At number 5, you have crime and illicit economic activity. So let us look at the Ministry of Agriculture in Afrikaans and move forward.
Die koop en verkoop van kommunale grond. Aandag inwoners van Namibië se kommunale gebiede. Hierdie is 'n belangrike aankondiging deur die Ministerie van Landbou, Visserye, Water en Grondhervorming. Luister asseblief aandagtig en deel hierdie boodskap met die familielede, bure en vriende. Stop die praktyk van die koop of verkoop van kommunale grond. Hoekom? Omdat kommunale grond in 'n Namibië staatsgrond is en onder geen omstandighede verkoop mag word nie. Enige betrokke transaksies in verband met die koop of verkoop van sodanige grond is onwettig. Sulke aktiwiteite word ten strengste deur die Wet op Kommunale Grondhervorming, Wet nommer 5 van 2002 verbied. Gevolge van onwettige grondtransaksies, regstraf, oortreders kan boetes en gevangenisstraf opgelê word, ontwrigting van gemeenskapsharmonie. Die koop of verkoop van kommunale grond kan tot grondgeskille en spanning binne ons gemeenskap lei. Wat u moet weet, is dat kommunale grond behoort aan ons almal. Dit is 'n gedeelde hulpbron wat vir almal tot voordeel moet wees. Bewaar ons erfenis deur kommunale grond te respekteer, eer ons kulturele nalatenskap en beskerm ons omgewing. Rapporteer onwettige aktiwiteite. Indien u enige vermoede van onwettige grondtransaksies het, word u vriendelik versoek om dit aan die tradisionele owerheid, die kommunale grondraad of die naaste kantoor van die ministerie te rapporteer. Kom ons werk saam aan die bewaring van ons gemeenskaplike grondhulpbronne ten bate van toekomstige geslagte. Die ministerie aanvaar geen aanspreeklikheid vir enige verlies van grondhulpbronne wat mag voortvloei uit die onwettige koop of verkoop van gemeenskapsgrond nie. Onthou, kommunale grond is kosbaar. Kom ons hou dit veilig en verseker vir almal. Dankie vir die samewerking. Hierdie radioboodskap is met finansiële ondersteuning van die regering van die Republiek van Namibië en die Federale Republiek van Duitsland deur die Duitse Ontwikkelingsbank KfW vervaardig. Vir verdere inligting, kontak asseblief die naaste kantoor van die ministerie of die kantoor vir openbare betrekkinge van die ministerie van Landbou, Visserye, Water en Grondhervorming by die volgende telefoonnommer 061-208-7604.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated, we can get this global risk report. I was listening yesterday to an ED in the Ministry of Education. Then one of the things which I'm sensing, and is my sense, is that some of the things, especially clarification in terms of free tertiary education, the ministry is still sitting to clarify those things, and there's a bit of a complication, but let us hope by the end of the month things could be in line, because whenever there is conflict in the African context, elders must sit, elders they have to sit, but it's our wish that there will be clarification, there will be clarity, and people, especially the first year students, will be able to benefit from that free education, and not to exclude people, because when you look at Nanso student body. They also stick to their gun, especially asking for clarity, which is quite a very good position, especially when education representative institutions are standing and also asking for those clarification, particularly when it's coming to free tertiary education. See, the elders are still sitting within the Ministry of Education to make sure that those things are clarified. And it's our hope that what it said, the directive which is given, because it's also something that we need to look into. Because when the president communicated her vision to see, this is what will happen. Now, that is not a job anymore. It's a job of those who are given those tasks to make sure that how do you plan? Where do you fund? What requirements are we going to look into? How do you make sure that this thing of free tertiary education is sustainable? Now, the job is within the officials, the job within the minister, and also her officials to make sure that those things are clarified, and also students are sent to school. And nobody who have passed met the requirement should be left out. And also, maybe one thing that we also need to look at, and it's really something which needs emphasis, especially why the threshold. That question should continue to be asked, to say why the threshold. Why should somebody who is admitted at university need to be looked at again in terms of the threshold, in terms of the payment? Because if you can go to university, if your requirements of university should be directly or parallel to the requirements of you being funded, because everything is variable, and also when you meet those requirements, it means that you are able, because eventually you will be in the same class with everybody, especially those who did better than you, because you meet those requirements. But let us hope those things will be clarified, and students will be sent to school. Because what is happening is that no matter what is going on, challenges, especially from the global perspective, challenges are still there standing, waiting for us. Because if you compare, if I remember correctly, especially with the Global Risk Report of 2025, you also see the issue of food insecurity. But it's like in Namibia, when it comes to food insecurity, maybe we have done better, because we have top risks, but we have done better compared to how things have been. But the main risk now is unemployment, lack of economic opportunity, inequality, debt, insufficient public service and social protection, crime and illicit economic activity. When you have crime and illicit economic activity, this can also bring you to how we face challenges with cyber security. We are faced with challenges of illicit financial flow. And let us hope the Bank of Namibia, BIPA, Financial Intelligence Center, and other relevant bodies, they work together in order, even as individuals too, in order to make sure that Namibia is removed from that grey listing. Although we have done progress, we are still within the grey listing zone. Let's hope by May, when we are going to be evaluated, maybe that time Namibia will be removed from the grey listing, because it's not good for business. It's also not good for our ethical standard, and it's also not good for our operation. But let us hope that will be dealt with. But it's at position number 5. But when you compare with South Africa, there are commonalities. There are commonalities between Namibia and South Africa, because the top first in South Africa, the top 5 risk in South Africa, you have a lack of economic opportunity, insufficient public service and social protection, crime and illicit economic activity, disruption to critical infrastructure and economic downturn and recession and stagnation. I think there are commonalities and there are also differences, but is this economic downturn based on the relationship with the US or how? A disruption to critical infrastructure in South Africa. What would happen? But when you look at the developed world, you realize to say, what we are going through or the risk that we are facing, not the risk that they are facing. They are not concerned with economic opportunities. They have a different risk. Maybe their concern is misinformation. When you look at the Netherlands, for example, only cyber insecurity, but other risk. To us, they are not risk. Talent and labor shortage, geo-economic confrontation, and investment screening. But to us, those are not yet a risk, but the main risk are what is stated. But, you know, it's quite important because this, what is presented from World Economic Forum Global Risk Report, is also reflecting on our daily life. It's reflecting on our daily life. It's reflecting on our community. It is also reflecting on our constituency. That is why it is crucial, it is important to make sure that our planning should be guided from documents, but from real research, from report. And also, we can also relate to say, if this is what we are going through, what is my constituency going through in terms of this risk which has been presented? Yeah, let us look at what is happening at the global affair, particularly in Africa. Stated that the Lions of Terrax, that is a national team of Senegal, has managed to go to, or has managed to defeat Egypt, and is going to the final of AFCON, where they are going to face each other with Morocco. And stated there that when it comes to what's coming to Senegal, they have managed to defeat Egypt, and the team is taken to the final. And all eyes are looking at the legend, Sadio Mane, especially looking at his contribution, and also expecting when it comes to AFCON to lead. It's quite interesting to look into that, but this should remain as also that the way we are looking at other people, it's like child, you are at the house, but other people are eating ice cream. But you are just there looking because you don't have the means. And Namibia, for how long we are going to be spectators? Because it's good if we have participated. It's good if we have better infrastructure. It's good if we at least have a team that can go to AFCON. But just being beaten even before we reach that level, it says a lot. It's not saying something about the quality of our players. It says something about the assistance that we give our footballers. Maybe next AFCON, we are going to be there. Maybe the next AFCON, Brave Warriors will be able to train at home. And maybe those players are not going to be demoralized, because if we can have the best player in South Africa, if a Namibian player can become the top goal scorer in South Africa, winning trophies and recognized better than South Africans, what will stop us to gain or to win in AFCON? There's nothing that is going to stop us apart from prioritization of our talents, and also apart from improving of our infrastructure, and also better assistance of our footballers, and also to make sure that when it's coming to football codes, these things are made full-time professions, and these players will be able to be paid fully and be supported. But for now, let us observe and also look where other kids are playing, and also other kids are having the ice cream box while we are looking through the window. Maybe next time we are going to improve. But those are some of the things which are happening. Those are some of the things which are happening. And today in Uganda, it's a D-Day. It's national elections. It's a D-Day. And General Museveni and Bobby Wine having a democratic match. But now let's look at commercial break.
Save so much more in 2026 at WB. Get 1 liter Clover Ultra UHT milk for $19.99. 1 kg Top Score Instant Maize for only $23.99. 500 gram Bacomo Cornflakes for only $29.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 sheet 1 ply toilet rolls for only $33.99. See more January specials at Wurmanbrock.com. We care.
At ShopRite, our low price promise is to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 2 kg Real Good Frozen Chicken Mixed Portions, only 109 Namibian dollars 99, and 1 liter Bonita Long Life Full Cream Milk for just 19 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 25 January 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
Yeah, it's 31 minutes past the hour of 6, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And looking at Uganda, to say the democratic match has started at this national elections between Bobby Wine and General Museveni. And, let's see how things are going to turn out. But you must be able to understand that it's very difficult in Africa to defeat the sitting president. You must be very tough. You must be a legend. And you must have political support, and you must win with a stronger difference, because the sitting head of state has political machinery, has the state. You have to be very strong. But let us hope things will be peaceful in Uganda. Let us hope things will be peaceful, because Uganda, it's one of African powerhouse, especially when it comes to not only military, but looking at the history of Uganda and Idi Amin and Milton Obote, it was not easy those days. But looking at General Museveni coming to power in 1986, since then, he's the only figure who is known. Somebody who has been around for quite some time, and he said, guys, elect me for the last time. This is my my final term, and I'll say goodbye and bye-bye. And the young people are saying, no, go home, we have somebody. But there are also those who are saying, we want you to stay. Let's see. But what is very interesting is that it has never happened in many African countries where you are voting but the military is deployed. Is it a showing of muscle? Is it showing of power? Is it intimidation? Or is it safety? And African Union Observation Mission, International Observation Mission, international organizations and NGO, are there to observe how things will happen, how things will happen, and let us see and wait for the results. But today, those who are in Uganda are going to elections. Good morning.
Yes, Shombe.
Yes, how are you?
Good, Good man.
Yeah.
Ah, you know the.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just wonder.
Mm.
Hey, you know this is global report you read on the World Forum or whatever.
Yeah.
And the IA apparently in the media what look actually we have nothing to do with those
people. With what?
Because.
Yeah.
We are waiting for somebody to give us these things because we are not thinking about them.
But we have them already, right? It's just a reputation. Don't we have them already here?
Where?
Who does not know that we have unemployment challenge?
No, yeah. It's known by the public and the people who have been affected by it.
You mean this? Okay.
But I'm saying at the government level, there's no national, you know, call about it. Otherwise, we could have already started doing research about it. I suggested the one day to say, look, you know, the country, when you say, for instance, Vision 2030, the plan, the development plan that you have, the NDP that you have.
Yeah.
Now, if you know, this is the direction that you want to put as a country.
Yeah.
How to get you there? Who is going to get you there? You, to get you there, is the institution of education and students.
Yeah.
They're supposed to do research about this. You must give them an opportunity to find truth from this fact that have been presented. Because there's no way you say you have this NDP saying whatever every year. Ah, yeah, now we are going to NDP 5. What happened to NDP 5? What happened to NDP 3?
Yeah.
What happened to NDP 1?
Yeah.
Because there are things. Because if we have achieved, why things are like this? Why that report is like that? You must always believe me when I tell you.
Yeah.
This is a somebody's, you know, a company. It's not a country. It's franchise system. That's why they are evaluating it. To see whether they are making progress in terms of exploitation and slavery and colonialism and everything.
Okay.
That's why ourselves, if it was our country, why are we not doing these things? Why are we waiting for? Because most of the reports that you see, even in terms of economy and whatever, it's always coming from global things. When Namibia has to be downgraded by those Fitch or those financial, you know, institutions, they are not Namibians.
Yeah.
You know, even when you see our leader has to be awarded certain, you know, award.
Yeah.
They are not awarded by the Namibians. No.
Oh, but Mo Ibrahim is not African.
Look, my friend, it's okay.
No. Just say.
It's okay. We understand.
Yeah.
But does it really? We understand the narrative around that Mo Ibrahim thing. We understood it. Because when it was awarded in Namibia, the aim was to push the president out. Because you know some of the president of Africa. It was given most to people so that the sitting president can pave the way for the late Genko to become a president. And for him also not to intervene in politics. Because you can see some of the African political president, they are always in politics, even after.
So you are saying it's a political strategy, not really a deserving award.
We are saying until such a time that we go back to our own. Time when I say, look, did really this statutory law, Act of Parliament, replace customary law? Because now we are following these things.
But I agree with you somehow. It's like the system that we are using, we are also finding it very difficult to succeed within that system. We are not really contributing to with what we know. That is why when I was listening, for example, when I was listening, for example, at the ED of the Minister of Education speaking about that they are still sitting in terms of clarification of education funding. And it's also a bit concerning to say what is happening in the boardroom. Are people not on the same page? And you're asking yourself to say, is this system really going to work?
Did you know? You were never maybe to such extent sometimes challenged. To such extent that for you to realize, there's no solution.
But now, where is the solution? You are there. Yeah.
You're in the work. You go to supervisor. Let me ask my supervisor. Okay. Let me ask my director.
Yeah.
Let me ask the director. Let me ask the management.
Who's the deputy?
The ED. The ED is going to ask.
The deputy? The minister. Yeah.
The minister, let me go to cabinet. The cabinet, we are going to ask the president. From there, the president.
There's a lot of responsibility again.
Doesn't have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Later you are finding that there's no solution.
Mm-hmm.
Because later you will see something coming from outside, the proposal from outside, or how these things have to be made.
Just say we will come back to you, we'll revert back to you.
You see?
Yeah.
Look, for me, let me tell you one thing, once and for all.
Yeah.
There's nothing good from Western. The only thing that you can respect them is technology.
You say that many times.
You see? Mm-hmm. You only respect them. The only thing that you must respect them with is technology. Anything from there on social and economic, no. There's nothing there. When it comes to language, you know the old language they say, when you eat your organic food, they say, you must eat GMO. When you believe in a family of a man and a woman, they say, no. GDP, like India, that African community.
Yeah.
You see? This is what they are thinking. When you believe in your tradition, they say, you must believe in that more than yours or whatever. There's nothing that they teach you.
But
they teach you opposite. When you believe in a family, marriage is a proper family, they tell you the baby mama, single mother, cohabitation, all those, that is what they are promoting.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe in a reproduction and growth of the population, they say abortion. You understand? This is what they are.
I hear you. Now, what is also wrong with us that we just take everything? We don't think, or we like things. Why do we end up? Because it did not just start with us. It has also started with our ancestors, throwing away everything. Selling away everything, our ancestor power and all those things, then we just become nothing.
Okay. That's why when they start with the religion, they say everything is demonic, it's witchcraft and whatever.
Which witchcraft are you using?
That's why we say that everything of a black.
Yeah.
Cat and whatever. On demonic.
Yeah.
That's why people...
They make it... They are even calling it black.
even say, you must believe in God of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Abraham, but Karunga Kanango, they must not get there. This is what they are teaching. When we believe in our own system of economy, they say, You must believe in capitalism and whatever. So that's why let us agree. You know, a nation can only move when the leaders also, because it's a collective, both from the government, the leaders, and also the general community. That's why I said, look, why do you need two lots? Certain in common and customary. You what? Only need one lot.
Just need one, yeah.
Because when you read the constitution, it gives rights. It recognizes every law in this country, whether it's a statutory, whether it's the common law, but as long as it's not in the conflict with the constitution. Now, Emma, do we need now to come up with a law that look at it first, the traditions, the customary of these people, to say, what does people know? What is applicable in this community? Then they say, this one is in conflict with the constitution because of ABCD. Otherwise, we do not believe in those things. The person, because we are living in a democracy, in the global world, that if there is a community of society that believes in it, in the alphabetical community thing, then they go ahead with it, because that's what they want. You understand? Because now you find that most of the customary law, they are not, it's a enforceable to court.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Really, especially when it comes to customary law, because I see when you look at, for example, is the Ministry of Urban and the leadership of traditional authority. I've seen it's not only Tate Sangwaza. I think even Tate Utoni that time, he was also having a tough time because things are so complex and difficult to understand. And you see, especially in terms of leadership, there is always a confusion there. Somebody is saying, no, I recognize this one, I don't recognize this one, go in, I take you out, and the battle has been, lines have been drawn, and it's really not, sometimes not really a good thing when you are looking at it. Maybe, but in my thinking, I thought it would be complementary, as long as things are clarified, if your customary law are recognized by the constitution operating within the constitution, why there is a lot of confusion?
There's no confusion.
Yeah.
At least only when the person wants to bring this confusion, because the confusion is brought in by the politics.
The politics, ne?
Yeah, it's politics, because politics has division and also preference.
Oh.
Look, we prefer who to become a leader. For political reasons.
Not what the law is saying.
Look, I think the minister at some point had it right. Because you see, what the law provides is to say, once you people sort out your succession thing, you must approach the ministry, so that the minister can
and those,
like, it's not really to formalize.
Yeah, to formalize, eh?
To formalize in terms of the government record.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of government record. Now, at the time, minister said, if these people, they have conflict there, why does the government interfere? And the minister also said, look, if you did not sort out your things, don't come to this annual meeting of the Omarenga. Because if these people come to the ministry with their fight, now just refer them back. Because you are not there as a ministry to resolve the conflict between them. Not you. Let them go through their customary resolve. If they don't want to resolve them, let them be like that. That's a simple mathematics. Because the problem starts when the government wants to resolve these people.
No, I hear you.
And you can also see that people have to run to court apparently to resolve this. No, this is not court work. The court is supposed to send these people back to say, look, no. Resolve your thing through traditionally.
Okay.
Let them say,
yeah.
Look, only the police can intervene when these people start physical fighting.
When they start punching each other on the face. Okay.
Yeah, because when the government tried to intervene, they want to take sides. They want to support one for political reasons.
Mm-hmm.
This is the issue. But the minister was very correct to say, look, why are you running to court?
Come to me.
No, you should not run. Court supposed to send them the car. This is the customary thing.
You also have a court.
you have your structure there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want, if you don't fraternize, when there is the annual meeting for the for the kings and the Marenga and something, if you did not have a recognized structure by government, if you did, yes, let's put it like that by default.
Mm-hmm.
You should not come and really resolve your issue yourself. Because we must learn to resolve our own issue. Because people run to court simply because you want to become a king. But a king issue or chief issue has nothing to do with, with the court. It's a customary thing. It has nothing to do with the minister. Minister must just wait. Even if people complain to the minister, the ministry was supposed to send them back. We are not going to intervene.
And the customary law is different also from community to community also.
Look, how can we use a statutory law to resolve a customary conflict, especially on the succession?
Because things are not even the same, even within a certain traditional authority, things are not the same, laws are not the same within that. I realize that they are not actually the same, although they are commonalities also.
That's why we said, look, the Constitution grants all the rights, and it denies all the rights. The Constitution does not give you rights, but it gives you all the rights. It's a double-edged sword. That is the Constitution. And I have, fundamentally, I have nothing. The Constitution is very correct. The problem starts when we try to interpret the things here. Just imagine. Look, to be honest, as a minister or superintendent, whatever you call yourself, with those people, how on earth you believe that, no, we don't have kings in this country? Absolute nonsense, because we are trampling the rights of the people. That right has been protected by the Constitution in terms of Article 90 and also Article 16. Now, and you took oath to protect the Constitution. Where are you coming in to say, look, now you replace their title? Who give you that power to replace their title?
okay, now, I hear you.
Let me tell you, there is one thing that you need to understand.
Yeah.
And this is how the Constitution, when it say it give you, it never give you. Look, there are communities in this society who doesn't have, whose royal family has disappeared through colonial or displaced through colonial thingy and war and something. And they have been ruled by the chief. They are happy to be called chief. But if you take example like Ondonga, there was Ukwaniwina Wiyano Nanande Nandi. It has been there. Now when we say we don't have king, you are trampling our rights. And you are also trampling the rights of our king. We are not saying Namibia is not the end of the state. We are not saying the king is the head of the state.
It's not a threat. It's not a threat.
But he get it right. But you are saying, if there is a community that believes that they don't want king, they want chief, that is their problem.
Yeah. I hear you. You are correct. Yeah. You are correct.
But if there is a community who believes that we want king, we want to be ruled by the royal family, as we know from all along.
You must respect it.
It must be respected. How come now you come to the king and you greet them? Good morning, chief. What nonsense is that?
Well, did it happen?
It happened in Kondango.
Aye.
Good morning, chief.
Mm-hmm. No. Look, I think that is also something that I think it's a point of debate, because we also need to look at other countries. But where people have been looking at it is like title threatening another title. Because I remember when I think it's the late Genkop, when he was speaking to saying, no, there is only one president, there is no king and all these things. But I ask also, when you go to South Africa, when you go to other countries that respect, there is no threat there. You look at Mrs. Zulu in South Africa, you look at is it Amatebu King, this one who is in politics of EFF and all these things. But you realize to say people coexist, but the title, the naming, that is with it. It has been even there before the state was
the problem is to say that this Commonwealth thing where we are members is where they draw it to say there is only one king in a Commonwealth country.
But can we not also keep our own thing without just receiving everything from outside?
That is where the problem to say that in somebody's company, how can you put your own rules? Just the way that we are saying, I said it also here to say, look, we never fought for independence. That's a misplaced concept. We fight for sovereignty. Simple mathematics. Independence from who? From what? We are not independent. We are not independent. We are sovereign. God in the constitution. Maybe the second word. It's a sovereign
state.
It's a sovereign state. It's not independent. Independent from what?
Okay, let us end here. Then we look at our guest for today. Then we can continue.
Okay. All right, to conclude, what did you say?
Yeah.
Let us not grant each other's rights. If you don't believe it, let those who believe in their culture continue with it. Don't.
Thank you.
The law must, even the local authority, must be in fact, you must include both things and the if, because we have them. We have them.
They have been here.
When you come, there is a gentleman. Mugambi now. I don't know what is his name. He is trying to revive their kingdom in their community. But the government does not want to listen to him. What is the problem? They don't want to listen to him. He needs to be listened to. And we see the, among the Kwambis, who wants and who doesn't want. Let's see.
Whether
they don't want him or they want to revive. Why the government doesn't want to listen to me?
It's always involved in
when did they try to do some, you know, a meeting, public meeting and what. They always send the policeman to maybe to arrest the guy to stop the meeting, to all the things. Why the police have to involve?
But I think I read something there, but there's a very strong argument there. Very, very strong. But you mentioned a very important point to say, you know, sometimes you can have a different idea from how it has been, but if you are operating within Namibian law, you must be given a right to be listened to. If you are wrong, we are wrong. If you are right, then it's a different thing. But oppressing a person, I don't think that is a good thing to moving forward.
That's what I'm saying. Now, when the constitution says the person must enjoy, must also promote his culture, why are you separating? And in fact, the guys from the royal family, we know what happened. You know, we know what happened. You know, during the Ipumbaa time and what was in the jungle, we know that is the problem. But when, if there is a voice to say, let's restore, that's why you say, government does not really want things, existence, they want peace. They don't want the royal family to rule because for them it's democracy. Everybody, tradition can be headed by both non-royal or royal. That's what they are pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a colonial agenda. Let the police not intervene. They must intervene when people are fighting. You understand?
Okay.
If people are not fighting, why you intervene when people try to make? Why is he also them in the Bambina tradition try to stop? Go to court to seek interdiction for them not to go ahead with their running and what? Why?
No, I hear you. Let's look at the guest. I got your point. I think I was also following something like that argument. And I hope that there's a document written, there's a book, ne?
Yeah, I think that's I think I need to
read that because, you know, we mentioned a very important point, but we'll extend that conversation one day. But today we are going to look at AGOA for now.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Yeah, we are moving forward with early morning scoop, and it's exactly 7 o'clock, and we are here until 8 in the morning. And you know, the good thing about democracy is that if you have an idea, you are respectful. We are equal before the law, and if there is something that needs to be resolved, people must be, you know, like what the caller have said, to say you enjoy your rights, freedom, and express your view. If I'm not happy with you, unlike those days, if I'm not happy with you, I just wake up, I take Odhimbo, and I sort you out. But these days, we are living in the world of civilized people, that men and women, they are sitting on the table, and they fight a civilized war. Not with guns anymore. The civilized war is fought with, people are fighting with documents. They are looking at the laws. They are looking at where you have done right and wrong. And the good thing about the law is that the same law which is protecting me can also be the same law which is protecting you. But I must respect it, not only because it protects me, but because it's also protecting another person. Because you find it's the same thing that we do with the police. There is this saying to say, you know, you may think they are not useful until they start looking for you, because you realize that, and you may also think that they are bad people when they are not on your side. It's the same with lawyers, and that is how the law is operating. You think lawyers are not good people when they are not on your side, but when you are in trouble, you realize that, no, I think I need to speak to this lawyer to defend my rights and also to explain to me. That's why law is standing there. Our behaviors and what we do is why we find ourselves on the other sides of the law. That's why it's always important to be civilized and operate within that law. You say, nobody should feel oppressed. Nobody should feel threatened, because the Namibia that people have fought for was on those principles of equality and also respect and social justice. So it's 2 minutes past the hour of 7, and we'll speak on AGOA. It's to say, you know, it's very complicated to understand now, and it's also surprising, and also you also end up realizing to say US understand the capitalism system, they understand how the economy is working. And the way they do their things, especially playing the game of international trade. At one point you think United States is isolated. At the other time you think United States is the savior of the world. You just do not know. You do not understand. Because remember, last year after withdrawal of USAID aid, all the countries went and begged. Particularly in Africa, they were proposing to say that the Trump, please come back to us. We need your assistance. We are not going to survive. But Trump kept quiet. But by the end of the year, and at the beginning of this year, you realize that the United States came back with a different strategy of, giving assistance. and signing of new agreement, particularly health package. You look at Uganda, you look at Rwanda, you look at other countries, you look at even DRC. Then between that, you realize to say some of these health agreement, health package, billions of dollars, it's not for free. You must also trade with us. You must not just receive money, but you must also trade with us with what? With those critical minerals, so that the U.S. economy can also be able to build. Then you realize to say, USA did not really go. It came in a different form, but a bit of economical beneficial to the U.S. too. But on the other time, you realize to say, Trump is not that bad, because when you look at right now, when you look at U.S. House of Representatives, they have passed the bill of extending AGOA, Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. Now you're asking, is this a maneuvering tactic, or is really that they have a heart and feeling of the African people? But what is very interesting is also that the U.S. business people who have influence in Congress, Senate, they realize that you cannot do business without Africa. You cannot just give all those tariffs. But you realize that when you look at these numbers, they are really indicating to say the probability is very high. They are really indicating that the probability is very high for this AGOA to come through, especially looking at how it has passed through through the House of Representatives with 340 votes in favor and only 54 which are against. Then you realize also to say, when it goes to just going to the Senate, just for further debate, because House of Representatives have already made a bold move. After the debate in the Senate, then the signature of Trump and trade will continue under AGOA. Then one may also be able to ask to say now, what were we doing during that time when we were starved? That is one of the very important thing. What were we doing when that time we were starved, when AGOA was not effective? Because remember, countries such as South Africa, they had a desk on trade, where they assisted all the business people to say, guys, we are moving to the east. We are looking for other alternative trade destination, because when you look at AGOA, when you look at the tariffs too, we are not able to survive. But now what will happen moving forward? It means that you will come back to the U.S. because they had a better offer now, especially if AGOA or when AGOA will be, come to effect, and we'll see the resuming of trade. And the question is also, who is winning? What have we learned? And also, one of the questions that we also need to ask is that, you know, if somebody have been giving you assistance, then withdraw those assistance. Maybe you also learn to say, maybe one day he will withdraw that assistance completely. What have you learned during that time? What were you surviving on during that time? Because since 2000, we have been trading with the U.S. at that special zone under AGOA. Most of the sub-Saharan African countries have been trading with the USA, but we failed to industrialize. We have failed to use that opportunity in 20 years. We have failed to use that opportunity, just like when that it was withdrawn. Statistics are already indicating that how many jobs are going to be lost and how much is going to be lost. But maybe it's also now a question of asking to say now that we are going to get this deal again, how will we use it with all our efforts, particularly until 2028, where we are also going to see, I was also going to beg 2028 to see, please continue assisting us. Then the question will also come in to say, until when we are going to get that assistance, until when we are going to get that assistance, until when we are going to become the Africa that you want, where is globally competitive. Now, I'll be in the conversation with an economist, that is Epaphras Jonas, just to look at Africa Continental, Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, and also maybe to look at how it is going to impact the intercontinental trade moving forward. And something that need to be thanked, especially in the time where a lot of people are really suffering due to the withdrawal of that. You realize that, trade is a backbone of development. And maybe it's also now the time for us to study. Time for us to study and see. And those who are doing PhDs and master thesis, look at the impact of AGOA. Maybe you will be the contributor in the African trade. That is your point of study. Make sure that you look at that aspect. Look at the impact of AGOA. Look at the effectiveness. Look at trade. There's a lot of topics, actually. Especially those who get opportunity to do postgraduate research. These are things that we should look into. And we can also, when you look into that, can look at, we can bring it in the context of Namibia too, when it comes to that aspect. Good morning.
Jombe.
Yebo.
Good.
Na.
No.
Chendenga.
Kirita man.
Hmm.
Okay.
How I think, yeah.
Somehow good, but I'm trying to listen to your programs. Your radio is not good.
Oh,
compliment for the new year.
Oh, compliment yeah. too. Where are you? Where are you?
Currently in Windhoek now. I've been in the village for.
Oh, okay.
Almost a month. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I hope you brought. Brought good things. I was also wondering, I thought you guys went to Thailand.
What
is it? I'm just...
I don't imagine myself being in a foreign country, obviously.
Oh, you are a proud Namibian like me, ne?
Yeah, I have so many opportunities to go to Europe or even in America.
Yeah.
I said, I don't want
to. Oh.
Let me be in my country.
Okay.
Despite
okay.
what is there.
I know, then it's a good thing.
Yeah, so what is the topic?
No, it's AGOA. AGOA is coming back. What prompted the U.S. to pass AGOA with majority in House of Representatives, and what have we learned that time when we did not when it was stopped?
USA is losing gravity on a global trading market.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why you are Syria attacking countries, imposing tariffs, and so on.
Mm.
They are trying to protect the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So the dollar is gradually dying.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, when the BRICS financial systems SIPS was introduced, they come up with assist. Statistics whereby the dollar as a reserve currency was about 85. Now it went to 50, almost 50 there around. So that tells you that the rupture of the dollar is coming and it's very, very much accelerating. I understand Standard Bank in South Africa is now also connected to that system.
Which one for the BRICS?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, the Chinese. Yeah.
No wonder some lawmakers are saying SA is the biggest threat.
we are behind scene and then we have our eyes open because we want to be independent, obviously. That system is very cheap. It doesn't delay you. It's not controlled by any imperialisms or whatever. So it's a very good system. And this is the reason, that is where I used to tell people that the reason why the Americans are trying to chase the Chinese wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to Trump recently, mm-hmm. always when he said, if they cannot do what they have done in Venezuela,
mm-hmm.
the Chinese or the Russians are going to do it. What he failed to mention is that every transaction that mm-hmm. is going to happen is going to be done outside the dollar, and that is what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Because and then again, the reason why they want to invade Iran,
mm-hmm.
it is because of the dollar again. Because Iran is completely already connected
mm-hmm. to
the Indians also. So if you look at the, if you take if you take the populations of those countries, gives you already about 45% or even 50% of the
Just hold on. Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
At ShopRite, our low price promise is to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 500 grams Polana elbow, macaroni or spaghetti pasta, only 13 Namibian dollars 99 each. And 1 kg nice rice, medium grain for just 26 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 25 January 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
Yes, we're speaking about Iran and the dollar.
Yeah, if you take China,
yeah,
it's already 1.4 something there around.
Yeah, yeah.
The Indians. Yeah. Now, the purchasing power, the parity of those two countries is already surpassing the G7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why these guys, they want war. They want to go suicide because mm-hmm. the reason behind.
Yeah.
It's the dollar that is actually being protected.
Mm.
Yeah, but there is no way because what they have done in Venezuela, they did it. You know, they went in with a lot of pretext.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby they said no, it's the head of a narco or drugs or whatever, something like that, and so on. It was exactly the oils because Venezuela was about to connect to the system.
Oh.
Yeah, was about to connect to the systems.
But if Venezuela could connect to the system. Yeah.
That's it. Then Venezuela would need no dollar, or China would want no dollar to buy from Venezuela. They will pay with the rubies.
Oh.
Yeah, so
it's a biggest win.
It's a biggest win, but the government is still intact. It might be, but it's very difficult for them to control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why they were condemned by the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said they are going to remove them because they don't want to be held accountable. You are party to the thingy and you are the one that is doing that. What America did today is very crucial. A lot of people need to understand that. That says that there are no in the nation's laws anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So what they wanted to project is that any superpowers in the world can just go and do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that is the problem.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain things behind the scene that most people does not understand is when things like that happened.
No, you are correct, because I was also I was laughing, but I was also concerned because it was like drugs, narco. At the end of the day, the oil is ours. We are going to control it, and it's just something which it's even if they are not even hiding it anymore.
Have you seen the company, Exxon Mobil?
Exactly.
But Trump had the press conferences with those companies, in White House, where he was actually encouraging them they must go in quickly and do whatever they have to do beforehand, because they know things are not going to be the same for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the CEOs said, no, Venezuela is uninvestable. That trigger and anger in Trump himself. Now he wants to exclude that company. Now he has to know that these companies do coordinate when they invest. You see, until now, none of American's company has make an initiative to go and invest there. And Trump is very angry about that, because what they wanted, that's why they threatened this Dosi Rodriguez, the president now, that the oils that is there must be shipped to America, about 2 billion barrels, something like that. And he said no. Once that oil is here, they will refine it.
And
then once they refine it, they will sell it in the world market. And then Trump himself will take care of that. He will decide. And then the Venezuelans also, if they want to buy something, they will have to buy things from the countries that Americans allow them to do. You see?
No,
you need to understand that America has been being hostile to Venezuela for such a long time. And that is the reason one of the senior militaries were bought by America. They were actually paid.
It was also funny to see just how can you just pick up a president in 2 minutes or in 20 minutes like that? It's a very strong country with
they have spent over 1 billion to pay those people.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what they does is that they strangled your economy. Once they find out that your people are vulnerable, then they come in with money.
Mm-hmm.
The Mossad and the MI6, the CIA.
So all those guys are rich now, the generals.
Yeah, some of them have already freed the country.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense because some of the generals, but I think the problem was with these generals that is responsible for the president,
protection.
And you know the problem is that these things of only depending on a decision being made by one person, not by two or three, it's very dangerous. Yeah, because if he could have three or four, you know, because they even switched the air defense off, they switched it off.
But it was a dangerous mission also to those who went.
It was a dangerous mission, so they went in with the technical nuclear weapons.
Oh.
Yeah, they went in with those biologicals, whatever, nuclear weapons or something like that. I was in the north. My network was not that good, but
yeah.
I was following it, and I
know
exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like everybody was sleeping. You can't just come to a house and pick up a president of the country like that. And no, man. It's not even making sense unless we have really people who are inside that house that are
working
together.
One of my sources just sent me an SMS. Sent me a thing. Ding, 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 ding.
Mm.
Something is happening there in Venezuela. So, yeah. So, but the world is moving well.
Yeah.
They are not going to win.
Yeah,
obviously, they are not going to win. I think these moratoriums or whatever, these things for us not to build nuclear power stations and all those things might come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy I understand. Apparently, our ministers, foreign ministers, went to Russia.
Mm.
Hopefully, she might come with something good. But we have to face it. You can never eat honey at the hand of somebody.
Mm.
Go and fight the bees, get it and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I go there, the bees bite me, and then I came back. You want to enjoy it more than me.
No, I hear you. But I'm, yeah. But now the Angoa is coming back, and what do you think will happen? South Africa will also go, are we going to get back to the deal, or do you think Africa is going to reject it? Because they pass it with majority in House of Representatives, and there's no way the president is going to reject it. He has to sign it to renew it until 2028. Maybe what is that we have learned? Can we still work together with that?
You see, when you didn't go through the document, it is very difficult. You don't know what are the terms and conditions.
Well, there must be new changes.
You could come and said, look, if you want to be part of it, you can be part of it, but you also have your choice to make your own choice.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this things with Americans, they comes with condition that if you are working, you are working with us, it's either us or someone else. And when you are not working with us, then automatically you are advisory to us. You see, that is the problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't know what they talk with our leaders behind the scenes. These are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As we are saying, countries, small countries like Namibia, we're still vulnerable. Little bit vulnerable.
Mm, mm, mm.
Because they can actually sanction you still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They can say, no, if you don't want, we can sanction you. Or we can sanction your leader.
Mm-hmm.
But now it has become a little bit difficult for them to sanction countries, because by sanctioning country, that accelerates the declines of the USA dollar in the reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is now one of the problems. That's why there is chaos. I am even thinking that we might even end up with nuclear wars.
I think
the war is evident.
Yeah.
And then like what they want to do there in Iran is the problem.
But it's like Iran has been standing for a very long time. I think their structure is still intact, because I see protest again, where the president is walking in the street with his people. They are saying we want, is that something else?
Yeah, you see, like BRICS, like BRICS.
Mm.
They don't put condition. They don't say once you are part of us, then you don't have to use the USA dollar, you don't have to be friend to America. It's an option. It's an alternative.
Yeah.
But the Western's policy will always come to conditions that, look, if you sign up with us, that means you can no longer sign up with China or America. Because the biggest problem with this and that the Americans now have is the Chinese, is the Russians, is the Iranians.
No, not
the Indians.
The Indians were
friends. But now, there's no good relationship between the Indians. And then I think what hold the Americans together, or the dollar now, is Saudi Arabia. But Saudi Arabia has also started to do whatever they want to do. Any options they explore. But the Saudi Arabians, they have got a little bit more power of leverage to the USA, because if they say, look, we are no longer going to sell our oils in dollars, then America is done. This is where they are trying to force the Saudi Arabians to sign to this Abraham Court, or whatever that this resolution that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saudi Arabia does not want, because that excludes Palestinians as a state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they are good business people, you know, they look at the money, they don't look at this friendship without anything. They go in any direction.
Their main aim, their priority is money.
Yeah.
They don't care about anything else. That's why the Americans are telling you, look, there's a quote that, the famous, foreign minister, Henry Kissinger used to say, it is dangerous not to be a friend of America, but to be a friend of America also is what word do they use? There is another word that they use, which is also more dangerous because whenever they want what they want, and if you don't comply, go comply,
they'll come for you.
They'll come for you.
They can pick you up.
Of course. And then he said also that diplomacy must be accompanied by military. No, in Venezuela.
No, I think Kissinger was more than the president because he advised three presidents of foreign.
Yeah, and he has two posts. He has that as Secretary of State, and he has a National Security Advisor.
No, he was very powerful.
It is now exactly the same post that that guy has, that Marco Rubio.
I think you are speaking like some analysts are also saying that because those guys, they become very powerful because they are actually the final advisor to whatever this is going to be done. And
Marco Rubio is the second to Donald Trump.
Not to the vice.
He's the second. He's the second by decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, followed by HECSEC, the secretaries of the war.
Secretary of War.
Yeah. They rename it. Secretaries of War.
I've seen. Now. Why? I think the there is also some of prediction to say there is also a battle of succession there, especially post 2029 or 2028. There is a battle of succession because I don't think Trump will be eligible to rerun again because he was having the other term, although it was not consecutive. You just need to be there for two terms.
The problem with America is that no president in America has got an ultimate power on himself, even being elected by the general public of the Americans. Because even the Americans are now realizing now that, look, we have been betrayed for such a long time. Because whoever they vote, neither from Democracy or Republican, these persons will serve the Islamists and the policies of the globalists. You know, for Trump to be a president, I think he was actually given a tip by the intelligence. Because Trump was sitting on two political foundations. One called MAGA, Make American Great. That call is not Trump's call. It was a call initiated by that movement, that political movement, Make American Gain, which they did, and then they called it MAGA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, MAGA means Make America Great and Again. America First. That is what means.
Uh-huh.
And then there was this one that is consists of mostly young Americans, those that are in college and in schools. The one that was being led by Charlie Kirk, the guy who was just assassinated.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Trump comes up with the word, I am no longer going to entertain the policies of the deep state. I am going to serve the American general public that put me in power. But when Trump got there, he failed to do that. So in 2029, there's going to be another. These people, they decided to form another political party. Because they are saying, it doesn't make sense.
we vote for Trump, we were hoping that he's going to save us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to follow, because that movement, especially the MAGA, has documents of policies of what they, of how they actually wanted to run the country.
But Trump turned
his back on them.
Mm-hmm.
The Tucker Carlson, you see those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did whatever he wanted to do, because the thing is here, the House of Congress is consists of 500 senators.
Mm.
I think senators, when you talk about senators,
mm.
you're talking about member of parliament.
Mm, mm, mm.
So it's only 10 of them who are not being funded by the APEC lobby of the Israel.
Mm.
Now the APEC lobbies of the Israel is an organization,
mm.
a conglomerate.
Mm.
Organizations
mm.
Set up by the Islamists, and that consists of the globalists. And
mm.
those guys, they pay for the campaign, they pay for everything. They have powers.
No, I agree with you.
They can go behind scene and say, look, the president that is here
mm.
does not serve our interest. Impeach him.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy. Yeah.
Maybe just one minute, then we can go to, I think, our guest.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that is the problem.
Mm.
So I don't think Trump, because there is a midterm election that is coming up. If it's not this year, I just need to find out this next year. So it's because the Republicans
mm.
are now controlling the parliament, the House of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
If Trump did not win
mm-hmm.
midterm elections to control the House of Congress,
mm-hmm.
then obviously the democracy will look for a way to impeach him.
Yeah, that
the other day. And when he's being impeached.
Mm-hmm.
J.D. Vance is no longer going to be the president, or we might not be able to stand for a president, because they have destroyed the MAGA, the two movement of which they were sitting, and they are no longer going to support them. They are going to find somebody else to read them as a president.
No, I see it because he also mentioned it that it should not happen. He mentioned it also.
Now, yeah, Trump now has got no choice but to be on the side of the globalists.
Mm-hmm.
Because the globalists still have power to lobby for him to be the president.
Okay.
So, for J.D. Vance to be only when you serve their interest.
Okay, thank you.
Very nice.
And welcome back. All right, that is a deep political analysis. Especially when you look at where we are in, it's quite very important to follow what is happening so that you know where you are going and what you are trading with, who you are trading with, agreements that you are entering into. Are they going to be beneficial to you? And also to say when AGOA is coming back redrafted, what are new conditions? How many of the African countries are saying, no, let us relook, let us work on this act, or we just say no? Where should I sign? But yeah, let's look at our guest. We're a bit delayed, but not denied. Let's look at our guest and move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
staff. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 40 minutes past the hour of 7. We have around 20 minutes before we give the mic to the big mic to unpack the day. We are in conversation with Epaphras Jonas. He's an independent economic researcher, just to look at the return of AGOA and also to see, especially contextualizing it, to say how are we going to benefit from it, either directly or indirectly. What are some of the new development that would happen? Because the lawmakers in America, they are pushing for the continuation of trade with Africa, and also give duty-free access to the American market. Jonas, good morning, and how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mr. David. How are you?
I'm well. Let us go directly into what do you think about the return of AGOA? Is it going to be a shift in African trade, or is it going to be a new business deal, especially when you look at how things have been developing in the US and also the future of Africa? What is your general view when you listen to this news?
Oh, yeah. What I observed is that first, we need to explain to the people what AGOA is. Because sometimes people don't really understand. AGOA is AGOA is a unilateral U.S. state preference program, meaning the U.S. grants benefit without expecting a proper concession. And in Africa, it's cover over 2,000 product lines beyond the generalized system of preference.
Okay.
For Namibia, this means our exporter can send good like beef, take grapes, charcoal, and fish, and even diamond to the U.S. without paying tariff. And as we used to hear, there's tariff now in the U.S. Being part of AGOA means it's another way of dodging those tariffs. Yeah, and honestly speaking, I think African growth opportunity or AGOA extension is a bridge, not a destination. In short term, moving quickly on products where Namibia already meets a loss of origin and sanitary and phytosanitary standard is more vital. And I think the return is good to us.
It's good to
the U.S. also, because the U.S. are the ones that are investing in some of the projects in Namibia, like minerals, and some of their companies like Chevron are here exploring oil. So they are also benefiting on it. But for Namibia to benefit more, they need to look into bilateral agreement with the U.S. for long-term certainty. Because this renewal will just last for 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there's always something to say. There's something that we have learned during the dry days. AGOA expired in September, mm-hmm. at the end of September last year, né?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we look at. It's not last year; it's the other year. We look at now the gap that have been there after AGOA expired, the gap that has been there after, you know, AGOA expired. To say, what have you learned during dry days, especially African countries, because we have been starving. Some of the African traders, they look at the eastern part. But now, AGOA is going to come back. Maybe what have we learned that mistake that we are not going to continue anymore when we are going to enter into this new agreement? I want you to answer this question after a short commercial break.
Okay.
At ShopRite, we're helping you make your money go further with our wide range of back-to-school savings. Save big on essentials like 72-page A4 College Feint and Margin Exercise Book for just $4.99, 80 GSM 250 Sheets Typek A4 Photostat Paper for only $54.99, and 2x40g Stadler Glue Stick Value Pack for a low $39.99. Valid until 8 February 2026. Shop more back-to-school savings only at ShopRite. Right.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right.
Yes. What have we learned after AGOA expired in 2025? And it's coming back. We don't know when, but they are positive sign.
Yeah. When AGOA expired, I remember it expired on 30th of September last year.
Yeah.
When it expired, exporter face the most favored national tariff, which is in short known as MFN.
Mm-hmm.
The Standard World Trade Organization rate.
Mm-hmm.
That means up to 43% on textile. Count some of the countries that are more into textile, like Lesotho.
Yeah,
Ghana ended up facing the 43% on tariffs.
Even Kenya. Yeah.
You see that, and country like our neighboring, I can say our big brother, South Africa, ended up facing 15% on agricultural goods, which ended up cost. In a layman language, cost skyrocketed across Africa, and across Africa over 1.3 million jobs were at risk at that time. Some of the people who were employed by this company ended up losing their job during that time. It was just a short time, but some people ended up losing jobs. And as Namibia, we used to export mineral there. Namibia's mineral export were less affected, but sector like beef, fish, manufactured goods, really felt the pressure. Even if we are not talking about it. We are benefiting on these things. Like, for example, in the past, like in 2023, according to the data that are available, uranium and thorium ore we export the amount of $40.3 million in 2003, and in diamond we exported $6.5 million in 2023. Another thing that we know is that our diamond is facing this bigger problem of lab diamond.
Yeah.
And now the industrial diamond are not really in demand anymore in the because of those lab diamonds.
Just maybe why you are there, especially with lab diamonds. These things now, are we going to find a comeback when it comes to diamond? Because it's also concerning me.
Yeah, it's concerning us, but now what we need to know is that our diamonds are becoming luxury now. okay, what do I mean by becoming lax and good? Is that the left, what we don't know is that the left diamond are only significant for industrial use, are only important for industrial use, like cutting other metals and other things.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't use them on fashion things, because the moment you take them from the market, it starts to depreciate, it loses value.
Mm-hmm.
But the natural diamond like ours,
mm-hmm.
it gain value. By the time you remove it from the store, it keep on appreciating. So that's a good thing about it. And it will be required. Yeah, just imagine, you can't give your wife a left diamond.
A ring for it.
You have to give the natural one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Move forward.
Yeah, I think our African country, what they need to do, especially, let me just focus in Namibia now.
Mm.
First, we need to scale products that are already meeting US standards, like beef and grapes. Namibia was the first African country authorized by the United States Department of Agriculture to export low beef in 2016, and grapes are gaining traction also there, in that our grapes are actually good. But in my view, I think we need to diversify into something else like South Africa is doing. You know, in South Africa, in Stellenbosch, they are producing wine, but we are not doing that. I think we need to stick into that, collaborating with some South African guys, like South Africa, just like a brother to us.
Yeah.
And secondary, we should reduce reliance on unilateral preference by export bilateral agreement. By exploring bilateral agreement with U.S. for long-term certainty.
Mm-hmm.
The first point I've seen, invest in value addition, processing beef cuts, fillet fish, and creating great best out product like wine that I said earlier.
But where are we selling Ochitofi? I know, where are we selling Ochitofi? Is that not a Namibian made wine?
I think, no, but if you read on that bottle, it's saying produced in South Africa. I think there have been bottles in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have accurate data for now, but all I know is that maybe the grapes can come from our country and they used to export it there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm clear. I'm not so sure on that. I don't want to mislead people.
Yeah. But I hear you when you speak about value addition, and also when you speak about exploring other avenues such as long-term bilateral relation, not only working within that aspect of AGOA. Now, let us look at what is new, because there is always a thing in trade about a contract, about agreement, about the strings attached. We have seen what happened to DRC, what have happened when after USAID assistance was pulled out, they come with other new package of health agreement. But within those package of health agreement, there are conditions to say you can only sign this when you are trading with us, particularly with your critical minerals. Do we expect AGOA to be re-looked at in terms of the structure and in terms of the agreement? Do we expect a new AGOA, and what do we need to do? Do we only need to sign, or we need to relook at it and see which is able to be in line with what we want?
Yeah. On that, I'm not so sure about anything, but what I can say is that the extension give us a brief space, but the real opportunity is building resilience and competitive beyond 2028. Our population is large enough, even if our talent is not that, in Africa, it's not that strong. But we can link with regional framework like African Continental Free Trade Area and South Africa Development Community, instead of just relying on USA, to strengthen supply chain and meet US standards. But okay, on that thing that you say on is there might be agreement that we are expecting.
Mm.
Yeah, those things might come up. Mm. Looking in the past,
you know,
if you go beyond some agreement in those papers, I am not a diplomat. I have never faced those things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I have found, what I learned from other countries that, you remember in 2023, Uganda was removed from AGOA primarily for its anti-homosexual acts.
Oh.
But it deepening military and political tie with Russia were also significant point of condition with the U.S. So they decided, okay, we are just removing for you, we are removing you from AGOA just because they say they were anti homosexuality. And Ethiopia in 2002, mm-hmm. in 2022,
mm-hmm.
was temporarily removed from AGOA due to human rights violation during the Tigray conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And Mali in 2022, Guinea in 2021, Burkina Faso in 2022, all removed following the coup. You see those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, we need to have in our vernacular language in Osvambo, there's this we need to create other laws. We must not just focus on this US alone.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe just your last word, I have different views, especially we have different opinion regarding who we should work with, and our standing internationally has been praised as Namibia to say mbuku yo makwe na gerigari. It's a mouse with how do you say, escape route, ne? Or there were different, holes to get into. But that is, maybe a direct translation to say our standing in international relations has been praised to say we operate with, everyone. We don't need to just look at, east, west, north or south, but, whoever is, willing to be in line with our national interests. But the other problem is also some of, things that we find ourselves in a crossfire, because somebody say you can't be neutral in a moving train. Sometimes you need to take a position. What do you think about that in terms of the way we do our trade?
Yeah, what we need, what I observed, I don't know, I'm not really a business person, but what I have observed as an economist is that there are things that we are not exploring, especially our Namibian. There are things that they are not exploring.
Mm, mm.
We know there are some business. As the researcher, we know there are some business that are U.S. companies that are operating in Namibia, but they are still, they seem like, let me give you an example. Window Cash and Carry. Window Cash and Carry is under Walmart. Walmart is an American company. It's an American big company.
Mm.
And they are working they are working here, and we are not even out. Those are the things that we need to explore. And they are not even, most of them, they are not trading under a certain problem. So our Namibian can come up with, I think there's one of Namibian guy who came up with Naloba or something like that. Those are the things that we need to entertain sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Not just this being a big problem that are being, can be interfered by politics sometimes.
Mm.
We need to think, to come up with some idea and imitate those business people. And another thing that is hitting us as Namibia is that we are too competitive and we are not collaborating.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in some big store, like in Shoprite, so you will find a lot of brands from other companies. And the only product that belongs to Shoprite is lighter brands, you see? And it's few in Shoprite. Those are the things that we need. This majority of owning the whole 100% of the companies will not work for us.
So we need,
our Namibians need to collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we need to do as a country, we need to bring creative and smart people together. Because those people who are working right now, they are working in isolation and they are not doing well. Just imagine, like, I'm going beyond this topic now, like, in our load, the cost of our building loads in Namibia, and sometimes it used to explode in a later after planning. Because why is this thing happening? Because policymakers are not working together with the architect, and architect is not working together with the engineer who is going to build the road. So, that's the problem. We need to bring these people together and understand the thing, and understand what is in the coffer of the budget. Those are the things that are hitting us, and bring the people who know the market into the business. No, this thing of working in isolation, thinking like, okay, I'm the big one who came up, I'm a self-made billionaire, it will not work for us.
I'm the founder.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Epaphras Jonas, thank you very much for your contribution, and thank you for your analysis.
Thank you very much.
All right, sharp.
Sure.
Yeah, that was the independent researcher, Epaphras Jonas, saying, you know, you must be like a mouse which has an escape route. And must be able to work with everyone, having alternative too. But what I can also get from his discussion is the issue of collaboration. To say we are being hit by collaboration, we don't collaborate. That's why he gave an example of a tent explode in terms of pricing after the proposal is approved, because the architecture is from this company, the engineer is from this company, the project manager is from here, the supplies from here, and they do not work together and collaborate. And for us to move far, we need to work together, because that is the only way that we can achieve greatness. And, you know, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop. Thank you for your contributions. And we are leaving you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.